Congratulate everybody that's come. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Verse 20. Srasrasya Pudaradesham Yo Na Vedana Vartakam Katam Tad Anurupaya Guna Vishram Upabhramed. Sastrasya Pitaradesham Yona Veda Nivartakam Katam tadanurupaya guna vishram upakramet shastrasya pitaradesham yona veda nivartakam katam tadanurupaya Dhanavisham Upakramet. Shastrasya Pudaradisham Yona Veda Nivartakam Katam Tadanurupaya Gunavisham Upakramet. Shastrasya Pitaradesham Guna Veda Nivartakam Katam Tad Anurupaya Shapakramen. Maharajis? Shastrasya Pitaradesham Yona Veda Nivartakam Katam Tadanurupaya Vishramapakramet Shastrasya Pitaradesham Yona Veda Nivartakam Katam Tadanurupaya Guna Vishram Upakramet. Synonyms: Shastrasya, of the scriptures, Pitu, of the father, Adesham, the instruction, Yaha, one who, na, not, Veda, understands, Nivartakam, which brings about the cessation of material way of life, Katam, how tadanurupaya, to follow the instruction of the Shastras, gunavishrambi, a person entangled in the three modes of material nature, upakramat, can engage in the creation of progeny. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Narada Muni had asked how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Haryasvas understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastra according to Vedic scriptures, Vedic civilization. One is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra scripture is the real father. All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. One does not know the purpose of the father's orders, the Shastras. He is ignorant. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instructions of the father. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, verse 7, it says, Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha janarna vidarasura. Demons who are less than human beings but are not called animals do not know the meaning of pravritti and nivritti, work to be done and work not to be done. In the material world, every living entity has a desire to lord over material world as much as possible. This is called pravritti marga. All the Shastras, however, advise nivritti marga, or release from the materialistic way of life. Apart from the Shastras of the Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point. For example, in the Buddha Shastras, Lord Buddha advises that one may achieve nirvana by giving up the materialistic way of life. In the Bible, which is also Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life, return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. One should give up his materialistic life, turn to his original spiritual life. Shankara Acharya also propounds the same conclusion. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Material world and materialistic life is simply illusion. Therefore, one should stop his illusory activities, come to the platform of Brahman. The word Shastra refers to scriptures, particularly the Vedic books of knowledge. The Vedas, Samayajurika Natharva, and any other books deriving knowledge from those Vedas are considered Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Therefore, it is the scripture whose instructions should be especially accepted. In this essence of all Shastras, Krishna personally advises that one give up all other duties and surrender unto him. Sarva dharman parityagya mame kam sharanam braja. One should be initiated into following the principles of Shastra. In offering initiation, our Krishna consciousness movement asks one to come to the conclusion of Shastra by taking the advice of the supreme speaker of the Shastra, Krishna. Forgetting the principles of the materialistic way of life, therefore, the principles we advise are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These four types of engagement will enable an intelligent person to get free from the materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. In regard to the constructions of the father and mother, it may be said that every living entity, including even the insignificant cats, dogs, and serpents, take birth of a father and mother. Therefore, getting a material father and mother is not a problem. In every form of life, birth after birth, the living entity gets a father and mother. In human society, however, if one is satisfied with one's material father and mother and their instructions and does not make any further progress by accepting the spiritual master and being educated in the Shastras, he certainly remains in darkness. Material father and mother are important only if they are interested in educating their son to become free from the clutches of death. As instructed by Rishabhadeva, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, verse 18. Pitana said such, Jananina said such, Namo Chayraya Samapaiti Mrityum. One should not strive to become a father or mother. One cannot save one's dependent son from the impending danger of death. A person who does not know how to save his son has no value, because such fathers and mothers may be had in any form of life, even amongst the cats, dogs, and so on. Only a father and mother who can elevate their son to spiritual platform are bona fide parents. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudra. One is born of a material father and mother as a Shudra. Purpose of life, however, is to become a Brahmin, a first-class man. First-class, intelligent man is called a Brahmin because he knows the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth. According to the Vedic instructions, Tad Vigyanartham Sa Gurum Eva Bigachet. To know this science, one must approach a bona fide guru, a spiritual master, who will initiate the disciple with a sacred thread so that he may understand the Vedic knowledge. Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskarad Di Bhaved Dvija. Becoming a Brahmin through the endeavor of a bona fide spiritual master is called samskara. After initiation, one is engaged in study of the shastras, which teaches the student how to gain release from materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. Krishna conscious movement is teaching this higher knowledge of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead. But unfortunately, many parents are not very satisfied with this movement. Aside from the parents of our students, many businessmen are also dissatisfied because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat-eating, illicit sex, and gambling. If the Krishna conscious movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Therefore, they are also very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narada Muni therefore advised the Haryasavas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instruction of the Shastras. According to the Shastras is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, verse 23. Yes, Shastra Vidamutsucha Vartate Kamakarata. Na Sasadhim Avavnoti Nasukam Naparamgatim. Translation quote, one who disregards the injunctions of the Shastras and acts whimsically as he likes never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home to the spiritual world. End of the purport. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasiddha Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Gyanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Yuktam Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste. Diladara Shashivarno Gobavishi Kishoro Sahajara Gana Vrindai Krita Mana Vrajesho Natabara Jitavesho Nilapitambaradyo Jagadjanan Hito Rama Krishna Natavasmi Panchakalpatur Bhishcha Kripa Sindhubhivacha Pritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada quotes, the first thing he quotes about it, the demons are not, they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Actually, the demons in the Vedic culture are probably morally better than us. So basically, Vaishnavas don't criticize anybody because everybody is better than some and worse than others. So this is why we're criticized in demonic mentality, not the individual, however. That's the thing. The demonic mentality, that has to be put down. That has to be defeated. It's not the individual like that. So, it's like that. Actually, what Prabhupada doesn't quote in this purport is interesting. The last shloka of chapter 16, Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vivastati. One should discriminate in news of Shastra Pramanam, knowing that you deserve to act like that. So that's interesting. And Narottam Das Thakur mentions in Prema Bhakti Chandrika that Shastra Guru Saru Vakya Chitta Te Kariya Aikya Arana Kariya Maniyas. Three things make up my mind: Shastra Pramanam, Guru Pramanam, and Saru Pramanam, and I don't want anything else there. So these are check and balance systems, how people can know if Krishna Tridayanath is speaking or it's a mental concoction. You can cross-reference it. If you can find Shastra and Guru Vakya and Sadhu Vakya there, then it must be Krishna helping you as the friend of every living entity. Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 verse 29 mentions that Krishna is the friend of every living entity. And it's really comforting to know that somebody has got your backside. Somebody is protecting, facilitating, and supporting his devotees. Krishna does his job better than we do our job. So it's very, very comforting. In third canto, chapter 9, verse 11, famous verse in Bhagavatam. Matsyavatar, that Sanskrit principle of the Vrindavan Sanskrit school, told me that there are four ways of looking at that. Sridhar Swami's commentary mentions that there, that whatever relationship you want with Krishna, Krishna helps you to try to get that. That's good. And then how do devotees freed from karmic reaction, free from doubts? First thing is that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary mentions that Krishna appears first as Shastra Pramanam, what you've been hearing from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, etc. And so those verses are non-different from Krishna. So this is the first experience that a devotee feels that somebody's got my back. I'm being protected and encouraged. Then the next one is Krishna manifests himself as your authority, who you listen to. He wants to be efficient in the heart, so he manifests himself as your authority. Then the third one is sometimes you have some duswapna, some bad dream that won't go away. And Krishna comes in the form of your Ishtadeva, your worshipable deity himself. Just like I was asking a godbrother in Vancouver, Rohita, if when he's serving Tulsi Rani, if he chants her glories, and he says, you know, I'm not a scholar, I'm just a worker, she puts me to work. So winter and summer, the heaters in Tulsi's greenhouse are working in Vancouver. In the winter time, she came in the heart. He was saying that it was somebody, but it actually appears to be her. That wake up and come into my greenhouse, one of my heaters is not working properly. So he went in, he avoided it touching her, and adjusted the heater. Basically, she put him to work. He says, you know, if I want to chant, I have to circumambulate the greenhouses and chant my rounds, because as soon as I go in, she'll put me to work. Fluff her dirt, you know, or cut some manjaris or something. She puts me to work. It's interesting stuff. And by loving her, then, like any deity, she gives herself to you. And that's very charming, like that. And Tulsi Kavacham, Lord Shiva, told his son that whatever you want, you can get it from her. Don't doubt it. That was very interesting. It's very nice to be back with the devotees here. I want to mention a few things about tomorrow's program, Akadasi, that I never got reciprocation from Krishna, from Hari, by doing the bare bones. eat whatever you want, sleep whatever you want in Ekadasi. But when I accidentally did Jagaran the first time in Simferopol, it was December 31st of 2010, New Year's Eve. Turned out to be Safal Ekadasi. So I stayed up all night with 16 Vaishnavas and 16 Vaishnavis dancing in front of Gornatai. And the next day, Paramatma reciprocated better than I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, man, where in the hell have I been for 37 years? We hope that people don't have to wait 40 years. That was 3 years ago, to find out how neat it is. Like that. And basically, people really want liberation from this material world. And it didn't matter your background. If you did all that Ekadasi, you're liberated anyway. It's interesting. So, won't you try? And Krishna will satisfy the desires of anybody who does Hari Vasara. Now, the big thing, as some of them saw, is kirtan. Kirtan is everything. Fakir Mohan, this 92-year-old retired Sanskrit professor from Utkal University, told me, you don't count the people at 11 p.m. No, because they leave. You count the people at 2 a.m. They'll be your best people for your festivals. So you have to just turn into a preaching event. And from 10 o'clock onwards, you do sixth tal, which is dancing music. What they do, even if they have slow, they start out slow. They start with dvital, two, and then they go to sixth tal. Sixth tal is dancing music. They speed it up and they go to sixth tal. So sixth tal is dancing music. Don't stop moving. Don't stop chanting. Don't sit down. In the early 80s, when we were cooking up a storm for festivals, we would stock our rounds up. So we had these rules for late night japa after 10 p.m. Don't stop moving, don't stop chanting, and don't sit down. And it works really, really good, you know? So especially 10 p.m., a lot of people leave by midnight or 1 o'clock, and you're by yourself. When you're by yourself, that's when your Ekadasi, your attachment for Hari Vasara, will be tested by staying up all night by yourself. That's when you're really tested. If you, in numbers, there is strength. It's a lot easier if you have a lot of people. So you advertise it wisely, and you also get commitment from somebody to do kirtan. And you mention it in the advertisement. So-and-so will come and do kirtan. It's nice. And just like you have a 24-hour kirtan, so the same kind of thing. You just, the best kirtaneers are kept for the wee hours. They're the best. And you just, if Paramatma reciprocates better with you the next day, then who gives a damn if you're going to be wiped out for 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours the next day? So basically, it's really, really neat. It turns out that this Dwadasi Tithi, you're not supposed to bathe the deity or take the deity's garlands off on the Dwadasi night. Or the Tulsi off the deity's feet. So what does that mean? That means on Ekadasi you offer some strong garlands, something like marigold, something like that, will last really, really long. Small roses, marigolds, Tulsi garlands, like that, you offer. And then don't take it off. The next day, until a Trayodasi, you take it off. And you're not supposed to, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, you're not supposed to bathe the deity on the Dwadasi Tithi. Now, what is going to do? The temple, you just wipe them with a wet cloth and dress them up. You can do arti, you can offer boga, you just can't bathe. That's all. That's the idea. So it's interesting. It's interesting in life. And if Paramatma reciprocates better than you ever seen, then who gives a damn? So how do you do it? I've had some times when you weren't exhausted on Dwadasi Tithi at all. It depends on practice. Practice makes perfect. Sometimes you are. Srila Jagannanda Pandit was talking in shloka in chapter 18 of his Prema Vivarta, how Lord Chaitanya personally did it in Puri. So he says, if you want to, you could do, if you need to, you could do Harivasara. So anna means grains, but anna also means that which sustains. If you take that definition, that which sustains, then any food contains Papa Purusha. So if you don't take anything, then you're not affected by Papa Purusha. And Mahaprabhu says, fast is 24 hours or anything like that. It's really not such a big deal. People fast once a week or to clean out, you know, a couple of days fast, 5 days fast, 10 days fast. There was one lady that was wheelchair bound. She had some acid crystals in her joints. So she fasted on a specific diet for 107 days and got out of the wheelchair and walked. In the Subhashitas, the Gujarati Subhashitas, it stated that unwanted guests and diseases, you don't feed them, they go away. So that's interesting, you know, unwanted guests and diseases, if you don't feed them, they go away. So that's pretty good. Shastra is really important. Now, what's interesting is Prabhupada was not interested in smashing any other religious philosophies like that. He was not interested in smashing the Christians or smashing the Hindus. Smashing the Muslims like that. They have some principles. As Shastra says, Savai Pung Samparo Dharmo, that which is the best dharma, that which gives love of Godhead. So, on that basis, privately, you can preach to them to become Krishna conscious like that. And at the end, Prabhupada said, that's all right, give them some prasadam. You know, some guy was arguing with Prabhupada, and who fights with a samosa? Who argues with a sweet ball? You know, so in any philosophy that they have, any religious principle they've got, even if they're opposing devotion principles, at least they can take some prasadam. Who fights with a sweet ball? Who argues with a samosa? It purifies their existence. And it allows them to become closer. So that's what the whole thing is. The whole idea about Rath Yatra is described in Three Logs of Wood by Gaur Govinda Maharaj, describing that Krishna was remembering the residence of Vrindavan and he fainted. So Uddhava and Balaram and Narada Muni were considering how to wake Krishna up and satisfy him. So Narada Muni said, Uddhava, you should go. And Uddhava says, yeah, Krishna sent me as a messenger to Vrindavan, but the Vrajavasis, they said, you promised to bring Krishna. If I show my face now, they'll say you're a liar. You didn't bring Krishna. So therefore, you promised you'd bring Krishna, so I can't show my face to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Uddhava says, Balaram, you should go. Balaram said, you know, I would really like to go to Vrindavan. But when I went and Chaitra, then as long as I stayed, then the residents were free from their separation from Krishna. The gopis garoured Balarama and said, so, Dauji, you've come. So, Krishna's coming, yes, Krishna's coming, yes, Krishna's coming, yes. So, Dauji brought Krishna because Sankarsheti Iti Sankarshan, he attracts together. So, Dauji brought Krishna by his mind and presented himself in such nice ways that as long as Dauji remained in Vrindavan, the gopis were freed from their separation from Krishna. So, that's pretty good. Sankarsheti Iti Sankarshan. And Krishna delegated everything to him. He's the Santini potency, the existential energy of Krishna. The whole spiritual world, the whole material world emanates from him. And basically, he's the one who comes. The Paramatma is a manifestation of him, and he comes in the heart and encourages devotees and supports and facilitates Krishna's devotees. And he does his job better than we do our job. We're chanchal sometimes, but he's not. And also Tulsi Rani, if you're ready to be a child, she's ready to be your mother. She's Jagadratri, the mother of the universe. And she'll, like any mother will do, she'll call you, but she calls you at very strange times sometimes, you know. And she encourages you, sweet talks you, cajols you, and if you're in Maya, she blasts you. It's very comforting to know that somebody loves you. It's really good. It's very comforting to know that. I've had her call me in strange times. Once I got up about 20 minutes of midnight in London to pass urine. And in the bathroom, she called me, "My dear boy, why don't you come to him?" And I said, "But mother, it's 20 minutes of midnight. How can I come to you?" And she says, "Well, if my greenhouse is on lock, you can come and see me." It was very interesting situation. She does it all the time. Now, Tulsi Upanishad says you shouldn't touch her at night, but you can take shelter of her at night. Like that. Another interesting thing is that those that live in one-room flats, small little one-room flats, like the Japanese or something like that, you can sleep with your Tulsi, and it's not offensive. It says if one sees Tulsi first thing in the morning, when one wakes up, they're free from all sins. So, Hari Bhakti Vlas said that. It's very interesting stuff. Another thing is use of medicine. It's like last minute Louis. You know, nobody will agree. What we really hate is impersonal, industrial scale manufacturer. Now, the problem is that businesses could start out sattvic, and later on, when the children take over something, they can become impersonal, large-scale industrial manufacturing, like that. So we really can't give the green light to them, because they're good now, but will they stay good? Who knows later on? Probably better not to. One boy in UK gave me an old pramanam in 1975 when Govindadasi asked Prabhupada about Tulsi tea. Could they use that in the restaurants? And Prabhupada said, not wrong, can be used. And then it's very interesting that Giriraj Maharaj mentioned that in 1977 Prabhupada was staying with Kartikeya Mahadevia. And Kartikeya Mahadevia in Bombay tried 8 times for Prabhupada to take Tulsi tea for his dropsy, for his liver problems. And Prabhupada literally refused 8 times in a row. He said, Tulsi's for Narayana. Interesting. Yet she destroys diseases. And Hari Bhakti Vilas glorifies Tulsi Shalagram Charanamrita as a big destroyer of diseases. Then also, there was a devotee who had 4th stage blood cancer. 4th stage means going out quick. And his daughter were pulling his hair. How can I help my father's cancer? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur came in her dream. Lali, Tulsi is the cure. Don't doubt my words. She's a molecular biologist, so she investigated it. She got Tulsi garlands flown from Hawaii to Washington, D.C., gave it to her father with honey and antioxidants like blueberries. You have vitamin B17, like Antaryami did for his cancer. He was thinking, you know, I'm dying. What's the use if I OD on something? He went down to the GNC and got some Tulsi, got some vitamin B17 extract, blended it up in a gallon of chocolate milk, and drank every drop of it. Then later on, when he went back to his oncologist, he says, "Where's your cancer?" People in, naturally, it's the pits of apricots. They crack the hard shell and take the soft pit out. or the pits of Petras, like that. These are natural ones, natural sources of it. It's interesting stuff. And it destroys cancer. Those researchers were checking the community that regularly takes those pits of apricots and the pits of peaches like that. And they don't have any cancer in their community at all. Not bad. Sometimes Krishna uses things as a vehicle. There was a devotee that had an accident on a murder cycle. He was 60 years old, broke both of his arms, and he was in the hospital. So his godbrother told me, I was in the farm in Melbourne at the time. So the Mahanta of the Melbourne farm told me, this devotee is in the hospital. And I said, it's Navami. It's inauspicious. He has to wait 2 more days. He did. He waited 2 days and left his body on a codicil. So then I told his wife, look, you can, I looked in Willembuff farm and it was a codicil. And I looked in Dwadasi on Brisbane, and it turned out to be a codicil. So I said, well, you can be ambivalent about your husband's many, many situation, but at least he left on a codicil. You can be proud of that. There was a godbrother that I had that was really of a dutta. And so I brought 6 kilos of goji berries from South Africa for him. And I was sweating, how am I going to get this? So the day before I was due to fly out from Johannesburg, and Mauritius going back, they canceled me, they bumped me from the flight. So then I said, how could you do that? I got a lecture to give in Mauritius University. The next day they put me back on, and they upgraded me to business class. So I went in early, and I checked in about 3 hours early, put the tags in the bags, whoop, went, 43 kilos, whoop, like that. No problem. Then when I got to Mauritius, when I was flying back to India on an Emirates, then I called the manager and I said, I got some 6 kilos of goji berries in the bags for a guy that has cancer in northern India. Put the tags in the bag. So then when I got to Vrindavan, I gave those 6 kilos of goji berries to that devotee. And he gave 5.5 back. Couldn't use them. Then I said to my god sister, Devi Shakti Ma, I said, Mother, I tried to help his cancer. What to do? Let him go. Let him go. He'll be happy. We have to rot here for 30 more years or 40 more years. So I gave up. And he left his body on Varunthani Akadasi. You can be as weird as they are. If you leave on Akadasi, you're liberated anyway. So then I went to Bombay for Ram Navami Festival. And my godbrother there, Bhima Das, is his Gawala, villager, came from the same village, from St. Louis, and knows him well. So then I asked him, I said, he died of this and that. I tried to help his health. You don't know? No. He died of AIDS. How did he get AIDS? Oh, before he became a devotee, he had a girlfriend. She gave it to him. He gave it to her. I don't know. It means Krishna uses AIDS as an agent of change. So Krishna does that a lot, uses the devotees as an agent of change. All the old timers in the community, we should encourage them that you should go to the Dhamma. Didn't matter, Mayapur or Vrindavan, go settle in. A few hours before, a few years before, settle in. There is a devotee, godbrother, Pundarik Das, from New Orleans area. And he served a New Taliban farm community for a long time. When it came time to leave, he left in Vrindavan Hospice. Another godbrother, Laguti, from Australia, Serbian Vaishnava, Yugoslavian Vaishnava. He's staying in Mayapur. It's easier, a lot easier for people to find accommodation and stay in Mayapur. Now, the first 10 years of life, you're available for your children and grandchildren. And the rest, you're not even accessible. Kiss off the whole world. It was very interesting that Satyaraj Khan, And so Sri Lord Chaitanya asked, how do you recognize a devotee? So the third one, Mahaprabhu said, he left Bengal, walked 10 days to see Jagannath and Rath Yatra, and Mahaprabhu. And so he asked, how do you recognize a devotee? Mahaprabhu said, they're not even externally aware. So we should practice that to set an example for the children and grandchildren. Like that, become absorbed in bhajan the last 10 years because everything is going to get stolen away at the time of death anyway. Might as well remember Hari. It says in the Hari Namastakam, which is an Agata Kavita, nobody knows who wrote it in Sanskrit. The fourth shloka says, Nisvase nahi vishvasa kada ruddho bhavishyati kirtani mato baliyat. Harinam eva kevalam. There's never any guarantee which time will be your last breath. Therefore, Harinam should remain on your tongue loudly at all times, strongly at all times. So one should continue to try like that. Hey, we got some people here. So we'll open for questions now to the Southern Buddhists. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your very nice class. Krishna says, Yatham mam prapadyante tam sadaiva pachami aham. And you mentioned in your class a few times this point that it's very reassuring to know that someone loves you. And I was wondering if that feeling can only come when you love Krishna or his devotees. Because otherwise, how will you feel that from Krishna's side if you yourself don't have any love for him?
Whether you love Krishna or don't, he's the maintainer of every living entity. If you love Krishna and serve devotees, you have an experience with Prabhupada says. But Krishna is within the heart of everybody and gives intelligence with everybody. Therefore, even sometimes I will maybe even take advice from the karmis. If you can see Shastra and Guru and Sadhuvakya from it. It means Krishna speaking to them, like that, through them, through their words. So the point is that if somebody loves Krishna, then they can understand more. But sometimes people are just more subtle about it. Subtle. Subtle means they're a little bit more subtle in their perception. So if you can... it's easier to serve Krishna naturally if you love Krishna. But even those that don't, this is why, and you never really know who's going to become exalted. Therefore, we should distribute prasadam to everybody. Who argues with a sweet ball? Who fights with a samosa? We should distribute, because you never know who's going to become good afterwards. Just like my godbrother, Gopijana Vallabha Swami, became a devotee by taking some Gujarati Basin Laddu on the streets of New York. Just simply in 1969. He told me that personally. And it says, Buddhi Pariyeva Tishtate in chapter 2. Prasade Sarvadukanam Hanirasyopachayate Prasanna Chaitasa Hyasu Buddhi Pariyeva Tishtate. Getting the mercy of the Lord, then all your doubts go away and very quickly you get intelligence. And so intelligence started to kick in. He was looking at the mantra card which they passed out with the prasadam. It says, come to our temple, 439 Henry Street. And he thought, what they have in their temple must be better than they have in the street. So he came to the Sunday feast program. Then, he told me this personally. Then, in those days, in 69, there was a big queue to get the prasadam in 439 Henry Street on the Sunday feast lecture. So he had to wait for some hours to get prasadam. He didn't like that. So the next week he thought, I'll come early. I'll get prasad early. I'll beat everybody in the queue. He came a little too early. And they pushed him in the lecture. Well, I got to be polite. They're going to feed me. Well, I got to be polite about it. And somebody raised their hand. What are they going to ask? They asked the question. My God, they got a good answer. The next week he said, I'll show them. And he raised his hand and he goes, my God, I got a good answer. And he thought, Hare Krishnas, strange people, strange philosophy, good food. And the next week, he became more friendly with the devotees and he thought, Hare Krishnas, nice people, nice philosophy, good food. Then he became a devotee. What am I doing with my life? He became a devotee. But when he got the books the first time, he ripped them up and threw them in the trash bag due to avidya. And so he thought, I'm an offender of the books. So he was trying to serve the books a lot by distributing. And so by loving the devotees and serving the devotees, after a year they made him the president, they said, he loves us more than anybody, even better than us. So they made him the manager. Very interesting story. He told me that story personally. It was very interesting. Simply by distributing prasadam, you can make devotees. Like that. People can become attached simply by eating prasadam. In those days, we had, you know, different, you may have different qualms about living in a communal experience, but we thought, where are we going to get to the nice prasadam? So we had to stay with the devotees, you know, like that. Nowadays, you can cook by yourself, but, you know, like that. They were asking me once that in New Zealand, the quality of the attendance of the Sunday feast has gone down. I said, "What? If people can get it at home, why should I go halfway across the city to get it?" Previously, it was not like that. And one devotee told me that in Bhaktivedanta Manor in UK, prasadam was so good that people would really go looking for it. It was really good. So the cooks really have to work really hard in doing it. We used to have, in the old days, in the 80s, early 80s, we used to have four kinds of medals. The bronze medal, the gold medal, the silver medal, the bronze medal, and the iron medal. And the gold medal was when you got off on the altar and it was stolen. You don't know who's got it, who took it. Turned out the temple prison was a big thief. The deity preparation in the kitchen was gone, and the stuff on the altar, the stuff on the plates was gone. Like that. The silver medal meant you got off the altar and it's still there. It means the president was busy. Why is it not there? You got to tweak it a little more? You got to tweak the spices or tweak the oil until the fire roars? If the fire doesn't roar with one bite, cook failed. If the dal is dull, cook failed. That's the idea. Then the bronze medal is you made it for the Sunday feast and it's gone. Nothing is there for the stragglers because you're not cooking for who might come. You cook for who you know will come. Because any cook has got dry goods stocked. You give me 20 minutes and 50 people and we'll feed them. You have dry goods stocked. And the iron medal was when it was left over. It's left over? They didn't like it? You made too much? That was called the iron medal. You know, booby prize. It was interesting. So, if the fire does not roar with one bite, cook failed. And if the dal is dull, cook failed. Like this. And a whole mood was basically reverse engineering. We used to eat prasadam together as a clique. And whoever was cooking, then they would give us prasadam. And we would tear it apart, you know, like that. And then this is the days before e-books and like that, e-cookbooks and stuff like that. Recipes were handed from hand to hand. Then afterwards, the person who made it would take prasadam and everybody would corral him and ask him, what do you think about our feedback? Could you add something more? He would look at his list and said, I could do this. And everybody would say, yes or no, could do, this, that, the other thing, like that. Then the next day they made preparation, they would look at their notes for sure. and make it good. And if cooks were not listening, we used to razz them. We used to go, hey, you're not trying to make Gornatai leave and go to Navadvip, are you? You can't say that to him. He's trying to make Gornatai and all the devotees leave and go to Navadvip. We used to love to razz these people like anything, you know. It was very funny. Hey, joking aside, you want to make it better? Break out your notebook. We used to love to razz cooks that were proud and cooks that wouldn't listen. We would razz them like anything. We would love to razz them. It was hilarious, you know. You don't cook because you have to. You cook because it's in your blood. You want to, you know. And it's really good because for people that cooking is in their blood, you can get them at all hours of the day, weird times to do festivals, to do things. Of course, old age stops us. Like Prabhupada said that a young person cannot eat too much and an old person cannot eat too little. In 1991, I had the Delta Pass. I was flying through North America on the Delta Pass, standby. And I went to Boston Rath Yatra once on a weekend. And my sannyas guru, Niranjan Maharaj, was there. So the cook, Madhava, was there. And he said, Madhava cooked up a storm. Let's take prasadam. He said, my prasadam eating days are over. Very interesting stuff, you know. His body is more broken than mine, you know. He's 5 years older, 6 years older than me, like that. And his body, his digestive fire is even more broken than mine. It was funny. I was in Chisinau, Moldova with him, taking prasadam once. And his disciples would make 8 preparations. And I said, what do they do this for? Why don't they just make one preparation that we'll like? And asked us a bunch of questions. And he said, don't expect these ladies to be spiritual. And I laughed at that. Don't expect these ladies to be spiritual. That was very funny. You know, and another thing he was doing was he would eat some khichdi and he would put it on the side of the bowl to make it look like he did something. Do it. You know, you're only taking 1 or 2 spoons and quitting, you know. And he would quit way before me, you know. And like that. Then I would ask him a bunch of questions. And sometimes he would say, don't ask me questions. All the blood's in my stomach, you know. I can't think now. Sometimes he would say like that. It's very funny. Don't ask questions. All the blood's in my stomach. I can't answer them. It was very funny, you know, like that. We'll see him on his Vyasa Puja festivals in Ukraine, in southern Ukraine, Magdalenovka, from the July 1st until the 3rd. So I should see him by then. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Dekhna Parega, it means we'll believe it when we see it. Anything else? The whole thing about it is that more than ear exercise or eye exercise, the question is, how is it going to benefit you? That has to be sane. You see? Just like if somebody was directly initiated by Prabhupada and didn't follow the instructions, and somebody who's not directly initiated but does, who's better? It's like that. Because the mercy of sadhus is shiksha anusara vartma. One who follows the essence of their instructions gets their mercy. You can be thousands of kilometers away, but if you follow the person's instructions, they're right next to you. All of our acharyas are present in sound vibration. Like that. So more than just some specific pastime, ear exercise or eye exercises, how's it going to... Just like You're not supposed to ask a sadhu where they come from and how old their body is. So whenever I'm in the Indian trains, people will ask me that. And then I'd say it in Hindi, I would say, if you know, will it fill your belly? No, I'm just curious. Well, then, what is the use of the question? What is the use of it? So it's really, what are you going to apply? Abhyasana, what are you going to apply in your life? That's more important than any kind of thing. What are you going to apply? That's why I really like questions a lot. Because if you have a question, you have a relationship. And if you don't have a question, where is your relationship? Manishanam and Manu, Manishanam intelligent, and Manu, human being, come from the same Sanskrit root. If you don't have a question, look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a human being? It's good. And our whole process is abhyasanam, application. So what are you going to apply? What's dear to you? So it's very good. And written questions are really good because they put them in a bowl like that. And you edit what you're thinking about. Also, you quell criticism. Why are you asking this question? It's good. You can put the best questions on the top and put the lousiest questions on the bottom, which you can transfer them to good questions. You know, they're crazy questions. You know, and you can make it into a good question. It's pretty interesting. And a Wednesday in Melbourne, at one program, I got 150 questions in a bowl waiting for me. I thought, my God, I've got like 30 seconds a question. Like Jayadwaita Maharaj would do in Mayapur. He'll give a 20-minute lecture and then give 40 minutes questions and answers and blow everybody away with a half of his sentence answer to each question. It's just his nature. It's quite interesting. In December of 2003, I was running out of energy in Mayapur. And I asked him, what's going on? He says, you're a new member of the Old Dogs Club, and the fun hasn't even started. Well, Maharaj, what should I do? And he goes, oh, come on, it's just like a writer's pyramid. You know, the writer makes an article, and the chief editor has to stick it in the magazine. But there's no space for everything. He said, chop the conclusion and the ending off and scoop out the middle and stick it back in and it's fine. And when you can't do that, you cut back a little more. It was a very interesting answer, but he gave me, you're a new member of the Old Dogs Club and the fun hasn't even started. That was a very interesting comment he made. Anything else? Yeah.
I have a question about Guru Tattva. My understanding of the Guru Tattva topic is that whoever brings out your faith and whose instructions you're inspired to follow, then such a person is to be considered a guru. What happens in one's spiritual life if, you know, at one stage you're inspired by a certain personality, then after a certain stage you start finding inspiration somewhere else? So how does somebody deal with this change in inspiration? And how does one remain loyal to his connections? And what does that loyalty mean as one starts driving inspiration from different places?
In the first shloka of Chaitanya Charitamritam, Srila Krishna's Kaviraj offers respects to all of his gurus. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that the Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru are equal representatives of Lord Krishna. So basically, if somebody's uninitiated, they can change by writing letters to each person. They can change and get pranam mantra from somebody else and change. Then also, shiksha is really good. You can take diksha from one, but take shiksha from many, like that, as many as you can hold, like that. And they're non-different. You don't have to like everything about them, but they're liking something. And of the Shiksha Gurus, you may find two that you can't find fault with. And the next question is, who's available for you? That, how Krishna reveals that this person is your Diksha Guru, like that. And Shiksha Gurus are like this, that your faith increases about different things. You can see it from different people. Like that. You can see the spiritual master, but how the disciples are. Just like there's a Bengali proverb that Tushtukai Take Kalo Gwal Balo. It is better to have an empty goshala than keep a wicked cow. Meaning, have few, but the ones that you have must be really good. That's the idea. Really good.
Hare Krishna. I had a question, like, say a devotee or bhakta is aspiring for shelter with a particular sannyasi, but in the meantime, due to circumstances, you have for a person in that position.
Prabhupada left the planet 37 years ago. Sadhus are available in their sound vibration. You can take shelter in their sound vibration. You're not going to take an initiation from Prabhupada, but you can take shiksha from Prabhupada's instructions. It's like that. One has to consider like this. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. You mentioned ekadasi several times in your lecture. What is the best way to observe ekadasi besides fasting from grains and beans?
The best way to do it is to associate with those that are and be indefatigably determined. There's a will, there's a way. There's no will, there's no way. You have to be determined. It was very interesting. One lady from Bali was asking me some questions about, if you're sick, can you take grains on ekadasi? And I said, Mahaprabhu told his mother not to take grains on ekadasi. The Shastra doesn't agree. He said, you can take kalpavas if you have to. The thing about it is that you have to become indefatigably determined. To associate with people like that. Now, if you take, it was really interesting. One Sanskrit shloka from Hari Bhakti Vilas, scare the hell out of you, and then give you something that you'll never forget. Like it says, to have sex with your mother is good, to kill Brahmins and eat the flesh of cows is good, but not to eat an ekadasi. That's funny, like anything. And if you take anna, means grains. But anna also means that which sustains. So if you take that, then fasting is not such a big deal. Just simply don't eat nothing. Then you don't have to worry about breaking a goddess. It's interesting. Now, the big question for a lot of people is nirjal or not, or sajal. It really depends. Just like moksha dai ekadasi. If you're chanting the whole Bhagavad Gita, if you've got a good mic, then you can lower your voice and not strain your throat. And you can avoid water. But sometimes you don't have a microphone and you have to, project your voice a little bit. So you have to wet your whistle. So you have to drink a little water then. Medicine. If it's crucial medicine, you know, like insulin or something like that, then you have to take it. But other medicine, if it's not urgent medicine, then just leave it for 24 hours. And take it later. It's not such a big problem. The whole thing, Mahaprabhu was saying, if you need to, you could do kalpavasa. Fast is over in 24 hours anyway. So, that's all. What was very interesting is Prabhupada's godbrother in 1996 in Radhakund said, nobody should be proud of themselves for 24 hours nirjal. Previously, it was 2 days. Who's doing that? Now, vigil, jagran, that's tough. And the only way to do it is that you make it into a preaching engagement and advertise it widely and get somebody, anybody to do kirtan, and then you have a 24-hour kirtan roster like that also. But you get somebody committed who will do kirtan. That's good. And if they leave early, then you are stuck. It's very difficult to do things by yourself. Your determination will be tested on how you do it by yourself. It's like, it's very funny. In Auckland, New Zealand, on a Monday, a Mahashivaratri came. And you can't tell 5,000 Gujaratis, don't worship Lord Shiva and Shivaratri. They won't listen to you. So on a Monday night, they stayed up all night and worshiped Lord Shiva. Tuesday morning, they closed the temple and they went away at 5 o'clock. Now, went home, what did they do? Eat something, sleep something, you know, whatever. When there's a fight between sleep and food, sleep wins, you know. So then, what did they do? They got white kids, jobs like everybody. You know, if they had integrity, they told their boss, coming in a few hours late. Or they told a colleague, can you cover for me? Or if they took, or if they had leave, they took off. If there's a will, there's a way. You know, you have to be indefatigably determined. Somehow, Krishna will give the intelligence. And Hari Bhakti Vilasa says, if Paramatma Fridayanath is there, then he'll surely give the devotees intelligence in the heart, how to do Hari Vasa or Jagara. He'll give intelligence in the heart. So, it's basically that. And your determination is tested when you have to do it by yourself. It's tested. Sometimes you have second wind. It's called second wind when you wake up. 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's called second wind. Sometimes you get it. Ooh, and you wake up like that. And cold climates is really cool. Just open the window and breathe deep. Boy, you're completely awake. That's the idea. All right, Hare Krishna. Kishore Kishore ki jai, Kornitai ki jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya ki jai, Tulsi Rani ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhus and Matajis. I just want to let everybody know that we're leaving at 3:30 to go on Harinam to distribute bookmarks for Rath Yatra and the holy names. Hare Krishna. 3:30 at the back door, please. Everyone is invited. Hare Krishna.
What time is that?
P.M.
Huh?
3:30 p.m.
3:30 in the afternoon. 3:30 in the afternoon. I know. Why not? It's close by.
Huh? Yeah, we're going to go just up the road to Evanston.
Yeah, it's for what? A couple hours?
I don't know what time you have to leave. You have a home program tonight in Naperville, so you can come in and book in.
Thank you.